Well, Father, we just praise you, Father. That's all we can do. We can just praise you, Lord. You're worthy of our praises. You're the God that has created everything. And Lord, you're a mighty God. You're a God of creation. You're the God of our healings. You're the God of our deliverances. You're the God of revival. We thank you, Lord, that revival is on the way, Father. We're looking forward to the glory falling on all of us, Lord. That wonderful time of glory with you, Lord, of that sweet, sweet time with you, Lord, when your anointing falls upon us. Some of us have tasted of it a little bit here and there in our life, our walk with you, Lord. But Lord, we want it in a mighty way. We look for it. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, we just ask for your anointing upon this group tonight, Lord. That the anointing would just engulf all of us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to the fullest, Lord. That's what we want. We want to be overflowing with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. That even like Peter, when he was walking out there, Lord, the overflowing anointing that he had, it seemed as if the shadows were healing folks, Lord. And you know, Lord, in past there have been evangelists and people of God that have preached the word of God, and people for miles and miles around would drop to their knees in repentance, Father. That's the kind of glory we're looking for, the glory of the repentant spirit. Father, we need that. We need it so much, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Lord, we're looking forward to it, and we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless us tonight, Lord, because we want to bless you. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Terry, go ahead.
I have these big, I don't know what you call it. It looks like these big round pockets of, I guess it seems like it's still the fluid, and it's these big bumps that are at the base of my neck on each side, at the bottom of my neck, and I think it's some kind of allergy or something, but I just asked for prayer for that.
All
Your
right,
Advil.
we can do that. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority. Everybody in this fellowship, Lord, believes, and they have faith. And we thank you, Lord, that when we pray, that the enemy is in flight. And Father, we thank you that we can pray these prayers of faith, and they're always answered because we trust you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command these pockets of fluid on Terry's neck to cease their work right now, that there will be no after effects, that she's going to be, her neck is restored as new, and this thing will not come upon her anymore. In the name of Jesus, we declare it and decree it, and we command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go from her neck right now and dry up and be restored as new. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I
Amen,
believe
Lord.
that. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, anybody else?
I have a prayer request.
Okay, Angelica.
Okay, I would just like a prayer for myself, for the Lord, just to renew my spirit and just give me a fresh anointing. And just continue to build my faith so that I don't get weary in well doing.
Okay, well, I'd like to pray that for me too. Lord, I just thank you for a fresh anointing, Father, for all of us. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you give us bold faith. And Lord, when we read in your scripture the promises that you've given us, Father, we ask for the faith to believe that you will carry through with those promises as we pray, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to pray more and more. That's our Christian duty as a child of God, is to pray. That's how we activate the promises. That's how we activate God's anointing, and also that's what activates the faith that gets these things done in the spirit realm. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving discernment to Angelica. And not only that, Lord, we thank you for the dreams and the visions you've given her too, Lord. They're going to come to pass because we prayed the prayer of faith, and we know it. And we believe it, and we stand on it. And we thank you, Lord, that everybody in here, that you would give us a fresh anointing. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Did I miss anything, Angelica?
Amen. No, sir.
Okay. All right. Praise God. I believe that, and I'm receiving mine in Jesus' name. And I know y'all are too. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Gaino.
I'd just like to give a praise report. I'd just like to thank the Lord for healing. I'm not totally completely over it, but I'm much better than I was, and I just thank the Lord for answering our prayers. And Father, I thank you that you are my healer, and that you have taken the symptoms of hernia away. You've taken the headache away, and I know the weakness is going, and I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, and just that you are with us every day, meeting our needs, no matter what they are. You give us strength. You give us patience. You give us endurance, and we just thank you, Father, for your gift of faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
I want to give the Lord glory.
You go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in my life, Lord. I thank you that even though sometimes things come in inconvenient ways, Lord, that you're always working for the good of those that love you, Lord. And I thank you for your ability to turn around situations, Lord. I know for the best with everybody involved, Lord, you know, and how you allow us to just pray for people, Lord, and just intercede, Father God, and do things, Father God, that we might not have otherwise done had you not interrupted our lives through inconveniences. And so I thank you, Lord, for the many ways that, for your ways that are higher, Lord. And I thank you for being used. And I thank you, Lord, because this week my son was calling me to go pick him up, and I was working. I was inconvenienced. But there was a man, a very old man, kind of walking in a walker, and I thought he might be homeless. And my spirit just kind of said, pick him up. And I was like, oh, my God, Lord, no. Like, I don't pick up just, you know, people off the side of the, you know, street, you know. And but anyway, so I finally turned around and went back, and he was reluctant to get in. But he really did need the help. He was kind of just inching, you know, on the street. He really was, you can tell, very injured. And as he was walking with a walker, but I ended up taking him home and praying for the man. And his young son, 26-year-old boy, takes care of him. And he ended up telling me he had stomach cancer. So I just had the opportunity to just tell him the Lord loves him and pray with them, speak healing over their lives, and ask the Lord to bring them to salvation. And I just glorify the Lord for that, because, the natural mind wants to tell you this and that and this and the other, why you shouldn't do it. But it's a beautiful thing what the Lord does, because he loves everybody. And it doesn't matter what their situation is, what their, what they look like, or, you know, where they're at. But the Lord just loves every single one of us. And It's an honor to be used by him. So I glorify the Lord Jesus, and I glorify all his ways in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yep, that's true. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Praise. Hi, Michael.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Anna.
Yeah, hi, Anna.
Yeah, my sharp toothache that lasted a few weeks is gone immediately after praying.
Praise God.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Father.
Yeah, immediately after praying.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else?
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, Vanessa. Go ahead.
We just have one car, and it was we got in it Saturday night to go somewhere, and it didn't start. And so we were praying that God would help us with it, and we couldn't go anywhere to take the car or anything. But we had asked also for you guys to pray, and that tonight it's running, so I wanted to praise God for that. The battery was dead, so my husband went and got a battery. But I just wanted to thank him that he let us do that, even though our car just stayed here. And we had temptation to think that maybe it was a starter or something like that, because it's a pretty old car. But it was just a battery, and my husband put it in tonight. So I wanted to thank God for that and thank whoever was praying.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Okay, anyone else? You know, I've been reading about and listening to accounts of the Asbury College revival of 1970. They had a revival there. It won't take long. I'm going to just kind of go through this for you. It really blessed me. We have some people that work at the local Methodist college here. And we've been looking for ways to get the students more involved. We have a little band that plays over there on Wednesdays during chapel time. They have what they call a chapel time, and every student there is required to attend. And during that chapel time, they have people that come and, or they used to have people that came and would play, or they would sing hymns, and, you know, the kids were falling asleep and all that kind of stuff. But we finally... The guys that were working there suggested that they come over and play, you know, a couple of songs for them during the chapel. And so they agreed to it, and they went over there, and they were a instant hit. And they've been doing that for all of last year, and they started again this year. And it actually gave them some more songs if they wanted to sing them, that they could, or play them, and they could. And they really had a how you would call it, other than there was a lot more interest in the chapel now than there used to be. But I ran across this Asbury College revival of 1970, and what was interesting about it is how it began. Before 4 months before it began, six students decided to meet and pray together for 30 minutes every day for 30 days. And they called it the experiment. They would wake up early before class to pray. And each time they prayed, they would write down one truth from God's word. And one way God was asking them to obey him for that day. Let me mute Kurt. Okay. And once per week, these six students, this is one time a week, these six students would meet for their accountability for one another, just to make sure that each one of them was following through with the task that God had given them. And after 30 days had ended, the winter session began, and each student, each one of those six students, grabbed five students each to continue with that experiment. So now they had six groups of six praying daily for not only the purification of their own hearts before God, but for the renewal of the hearts and minds of the students on campus. And they did that with great excitement when they came together. And what they would say to each other, they'd say, "Do you think God's going to come today?" So with great faith, they knew that God was going to come on that campus. It's just a matter of when. They didn't know when God was going to come. He hadn't told them yet. And then on Saturday, January the 31st, the six students who began this time of prayer explained their experiment at chapel time. This is when all the students were brought in, and encouraged others to write down one thing they were committed to do for the next 30 days. And then it became a greater fervency for prayer after chapel, where one night these students were praying and crying out for God to come and renew their hearts. And it was 2:30 in the morning when prayer suddenly stopped. And every one of them knew that God was coming the next day. And so they all went home and went to bed. And the next morning, February the 3rd, at 11 o'clock, the dean of students shared his testimony. And then he invited students to share what God was doing in their lives. And this time of sharing continued, and lasted for 1 week. One student would talk about God's forgiveness and confessing their sins in their lives and how God had restored them through his great grace. And another student would say, "This is like me." They'd be thinking, you know, "This is like me." And they'd come up and share their testimony. And then there would be prayer and worship and another testimony. And one of the another girl, Dennis Kinlaw, who was the president of the college at the time, she confessed to him he had come back from a trip in Alberta, Canada. And matter of fact, when he was up in Canada, the president of the college, or the dean of the college, had called him and he told him we're still in chapel, and it was like 5 o'clock in the morning where he was, and of course, I was about 3 hours difference anyway. It was about 8 o'clock where he was, and 11 o'clock. I'll get it right here in a minute. It was early in the morning. Let me put it that way. It was early in the morning. He said, "What are you talking about? You're still in chapel." He said, "We're still in chapel from 11 o'clock yesterday morning." He said, "We were in chapel from 11 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock last night, and it's still going on at whatever time it was that morning." And when he got through, he had a day or so of work up there in Canada to do, and he got back home. When he got back to the college, it was 2:30 in the morning, and he was headed to the auditorium where they had that, and he got in there. And the students were still there. And when he walked up on the steps to the auditorium, one of the students told him, he said, "You missed it. You should have been here." Said, "You should have been here." And he said, what are you talking about? He said, you just should have been here. So he walked inside, and rather than make a big do about him being there, he just sat down in the back. He didn't want to interrupt what the Lord was doing. And he just sat back there for 2 hours. He said it was just awesome what God was doing in those kids. And he said this girl came back by there and saw him there, and she confessed to him. She said she was a liar, and she had been lying her whole life and wanted to know. Said, what am I to do? And Dr. Kinlow suggested that she go back to the last person that she had lied to and tell them and confess it, and then go back to all of the other people, you know. And then 3 days later, after talking with her 34th person, she told him, she said, I am free. And then she called her parents and said, I have found Jesus. And the theme that the Holy Spirit made clear throughout this revival was transparency. In other words, it was repenting of their sins. And the emphasis was not on gifts, but it was on sin and the need for repentance, restitution, and reconciliation in relationship, and the need to put Christ first. And then church tradition became a reality. Human vocabulary became a human experience. And what was once transmitted from head to head became a transformation of the heart. And it was awesome. It was awesome time. You can go on YouTube and type in Asbury Revival of 1970, and you'll get a couple of YouTube. One of them's about 38 minutes long, and it's the president of the college talking about what happened back then. And it's real, real heart moving. If you love the Lord, you really enjoy it. And then the other one is another one. It's also called Asbury Revival of 1970, but it's all about the testimonies of the students during that revival that day. And I'm going to read this other thing here. It said, one morning in 1970, without warning, all heaven broke loose during Asbury College's 10 a.m. chapel service. When you walked into the back of Hughes Auditorium, there was a kind of an aura, kind of a glow about the chapel. And Dr. David Hunt, a Louisville physician who was then a student, said, I always have been reminded of the verse, take off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground. Let me see, somebody's not muted here. Keep hearing some feedback. Okay. The service, a routine meeting, was scheduled for 50 minutes. Instead, it lasted 185 hours, nonstop, 24 hours a day. And intermittently, it continued after that for weeks. Ultimately, it spread across the United States and into foreign countries. And some say it's even being felt today. What would happen, these students would take that revival back home with them when they went. One kid, her parents was in the Salvation Army up in New York. And they had told her, they didn't have a whole lot of money, and they had told her, said, don't call unless it's an emergency. So she called him, and she told him, as soon as her dad answered, she said, I have found Jesus. He said, what? I said, what are you talking about? And she said again, I have found Jesus, Daddy. And he said, what are you talking about? You've been working for Jesus all your life. He said, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. And she said, no, Daddy, I was doing that because I loved you, not Jesus. Jesus wasn't in the picture. I just wanted to please you. She said, but now I found Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. That was awesome. That was awesome. She finally realized who Jesus was. And another kid They took it all over the United States. One of them took it to a Nazarene college. And two boys went into the Nazarene college president and said, the Lord, or anyway, his secretary came in and said, there's two guys out here that have something they want to tell you. He said, two young men. And so he said, okay, send them in. And they came in, and they told him, he said, the Lord has sent us to tell you that revival has broken out in Asbury College in Wilford, Tennessee. Kentucky. He said, okay. And he's thinking in his mind that they'll want to get up and talk about it, and I don't know who these boys are, and I don't know where they come from, and blah, 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 you know. But then he started questioning them. He said, what are you talking about? What am I supposed to do about that? And they said, well, that's up to you. The Lord told us to just give you the message. We've given you the message. Now it's up to you. Now, these are young kids talking to a president of a college. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. Can you give me 5 minutes of your time during chapel? And so they did. And all he did was get up and just give about both of them together didn't give more than 5 minutes of their time. Probably 4.5 minutes is what he said. And he said, revival broke out in that Nazarene college right there. Another one took it to a church of God, a small church of God up north somewhere. And revival broke out in that little church, and they couldn't handle the people that were streaming to that church. It was too small, so they had to go to the high school gymnasium. And they would have 2,500 people that they were ministering to in this revival there. It broke out in Texas at the Dallas Theological Seminary. The Baptists got it. The Nazarenes got it. The Church of God got it. All walks and of life got it that wanted it. You know what I mean? And it wasn't because of man, it was because of God. Man didn't have anything to do with it. The men would get up at Asbury and try to preach, and they couldn't preach. They just, all they could do is weep. You know, it wasn't going to be a man thing, it was going to be a God thing. And the glory of God fell down, and the kids started repenting and going to run into the altar and just overflowing the altar. And they were in the aisles. They were on their knees in the aisles, repenting and crying out to God all up and down that church building. And it was just an awesome, awesome time with the Lord. And I'm believing God is going to do that again this time. Well, I know he is, because the word says he will. And you know what it takes? It takes dedication to prayer. You want revival in yourself and your family? Dedicate yourself to prayer and ask God for it. And praise God that he's bringing it. That's how you get that revival. That's what we're doing here. We're praying for revival. We've been praying for revival here for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. In some cases, more than that. But I've been here almost 5 years, and we've been praying for it every year I've been here. And I know it's going to, he told me, the Lord told me, back when we lived over in Sweetwater in the big house, we had a service there one night. And the Lord told me, he said, when you come into one accord, it's when the glory will fall. Now we're getting real close. We're getting real close. We here are getting real close. We're going to see the glory fall one of these days. And I believe it with all my heart. I love to read about these old revivals because it gets me pumped up to know that God cares. And it makes my prayer life more meaningful, because I know that many, many, many people are going to be saved that were dead in church. Many people that were dead in church are going to be revived. Call out to the dry bones. Come alive, come alive. We started singing that in our fellowships now, and it is awesome, awesome song. We believe it now. We're calling it out. We're speaking it forth. And not only that, we're calling out to God to do that for us. And I know y'all are too. Okay, well, enough of that. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on or ask a question about? I don't know about y'all, but I got excited reading about that and listening to it. A revival. I always love to hear about those old revivals that happen. Gets me pumped up. I wish there was a way for me to play that clip from that president of Asbury College, but there's no way in this particular conference call software that we have to do that unless I put it up to the mic and do it that way from another source. But we're looking into getting another type of conference call software so that we can do that type of thing. And as a matter of fact, where we can, if we want to, we can just look at one another. You know what I mean? And kind of like, what was that we used to have? I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, we're looking at that, and hopefully in the next little bit we'll be able to move over to that and have a little more freedom with audio and video stuff, and I think it'll be awesome. Okay, anybody got anything they'd like to share? We had a question, didn't we? Lord, please show us how we can become closer to you.
I'd like to pray if that'd be okay.
Yes, ma'am. You go right ahead.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. And we just love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to just look at every single one of your children tonight that's on this line, Lord. And I know that you know our hearts, Father God. You know the deep things of our hearts, Lord. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would fill the hunger and thirst for righteousness, Father God, that is in every single one of us that you put there, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us even more of a hunger and thirst for righteousness, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would give us the will to do and the means, Father God, the desire to just seek after you with all fervency, Father God. The day and night, Father God, we would pursue you, Father God. That you would put the love in our hearts, Father God, and give us an understanding, Father God, of how important it is to seek your face, Father God, for revival, Lord. For those that are suffering, Father God, for those who need a touch from you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that every single one of us, you would give us a dream or a vision, Father God, a word, Lord, to show us how, Father God, how you want us to do it, Father God. Give us the will to do it, Father God. Clear our schedules, Father God. Make it the most important thing in our life, Father God. I myself, Father God, have not experienced you, Father God, in the way that I want to experience your presence, your love. I ask for more fear of the Lord in my life, Father God. I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, Father God, and that you would teach us how to be in one accord, Father God, that you might bring to life, Father God, your church, Father God, and in unity, Father God, as one body, Father God, in you. You are in us, and we are in you, Father God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would show us how, Father God, that revival might come to your people, Lord, and a refreshing, Father God, and the strength to battle and endure the things that we need to endure, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Anybody else want to pray for revival?
I just want to say amen to Angelica's prayer. I stand in agreement.
Amen. Yes, I do too. Well, Lord, I thirst and hunger for that anointing, that glory, the Shekinah glory, that the closeness with you, Father, just like I've asked you for many, many times and many years, Lord. I want to be able to talk with you and converse with you one-on-one. And I know everybody in here wants that, Lord. And I know, Lord, that you're bringing us to higher levels every day in your kingdom. But, Father, we need this refreshing. We need this encouragement from you. And I ask, Lord, that you come into us, Lord, in our private times in prayer, Lord, that you would just come all over us and speak to us in a way that would encourage us, Lord, and keep us on track, Lord. Give us those words that you want us to hear, Lord, that would up our prayer life even more so. We'd want to be in touch with you at all times, that we'd want to be in that ever-present glory with you, Lord, at all times, to listen to you and to get and glean those things from the Word of God, Lord, and know from our heart that you're speaking to us, Father, that gives us discernment over the enemy. And Lord, we want that personal closeness to you in a mighty way, Father, and we thank you that you're going to do that, that you're doing that, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for the words of knowledge you've given us and the dreams and the visions that you've given us and the more to come. And I thank you, Father, that all the gifts at some point in time are going to be in operation when needed. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. I just want to be with you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I just want to be with you all the time, 24/7, 365, Lord, where time doesn't matter. Get in that place, Lord, with you. Time doesn't matter anymore. We get in that glory, Lord. Time is not even there. We could be in your presence for 2, maybe 3 hours and not even feel like 2 minutes has passed. Father, that's the way I want it to be all the time. That's the way eternity is where we just be in your presence so much that time just doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing as time. And Lord, I long for that. I long for that sweetness from your Spirit. And I long, Lord, to be able to talk and to listen and to get to be led by your Spirit, Lord. And all of those things that you want from us, Lord, bring us into that level, Lord, of closeness with you. Teach us, Lord, what it is to be walking with you daily. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, did anybody get a word?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
I thought I would relate just a little bit of... I didn't personally... I was overseas in 1970, but there's a number of universities that I was familiar with that this revival also went through all those universities. It seems like they went through almost all the different educational systems out there across the country. And there's a close friend of our family's, a gentleman by the, we called him Elder Minchin. He was the kind of person that... of course, I was young. I wasn't even a teenager at that point. But he's the kind of person that when you're in his presence, you just feel like there's a holiness there and a solemnity, and just kind of an awe. I just remember, you know, I just felt like this. You know, when you're in his presence, you feel like there's the presence of the Lord was there. But anyway, at Andrews University in Berrien Springs, Michigan, he spoke there during this revival time, and it was a huge, I mean, it was just incredible what was going on there. it was just the Lord, you know. But this, anyway, I found out more recently that he spoke there. He was there during that time. Up in his older years, his eyes kind of glazed over, I think, with cataracts or something. But it was like, even in his failing, you know, his last few years, it was just, you know, you just covet the time you could, if you could be with him somewhere. So, anyway.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that revival from Asbury just spread all over the country. Actually, went around the world too in places. I'm not sure if that's what they. That wasn't the Jesus movement, was it, Malcolm?
You know, I think the Jesus movement was kind of the same time. I don't know. I because in 1971 we come back to the States from overseas and I ran into some folks that were heavily, that kind of were part of the Jesus movement. These two guys had really long hair, long beards, and they were, one of them had been a biker. And so it took him a while. I was able to convince him to come to Singapore to our high school there and have some meetings. And I failed to tell him that Singapore had requirements at the time of, because of all the hippie stuff going on, you had to have your hair cut above your ears for men and up above your collar at the back. And here this poor guy has, you know, part of his appeal to young people was his long hair, you know, that look. So he gets to Singapore, and the immigration officials required him on the spot to shave everything, shave off his beard and to get cleaned up. So that was his little trial right there. So, anyway, but yeah, the Jesus movement was real, real strong back then.
Yeah, it started in late 60s and early 70s, and then it subsided about in the 1980s, a little Jesus people, the Jesus freaks, you know, and all that. So I think what they were called, looking here at Wikipedia.
Yeah, I've got
so it started sometime. Go what?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I still have some songbooks from that period, just all these psychedelic colors on them, you know, and it's paisley and, you know, the purples and pinkish and all those colors. On
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all these songs, you know, put your hand in the hand of the man, all those songs that they had back then.
Kumbaya and all of those kind of songs.
Yeah.
And loading up in a Volkswagen bus and going somewhere, you know, spread the gospel.
I remember in Singapore, by the time we got to the island of Bali, we covered the whole, in the summer of 72, we covered, no, 73, I'm sorry. We'd gone, spent a month on the island of Java, and the tail end of our trip, we went over to the island of Bali, and so a lot of the kids in our group went down on the beach there, and there were there wasn't revival going on there. It was a very secular type place. But anyway, the kids went and talked to a lot of the young people there about the Lord, and sounds like at least a couple people decided to become to follow Jesus. I don't remember all the details because it was back in 73, but. Anyway, I just remember the reports of the kids coming back. I had a fever that was just over the top. I was in bed with somebody else there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're going to see a great worldwide revival here shortly, and it's going to be miracle after miracle after miracle in God's glory. It's going to be everywhere that God's people are. All right. Lord, please show us how we can become closer to you. Did anybody get a word on that?
Michael, I didn't necessarily get a word. I got a, for some reason I've been reading the or listening to the book of Zechariah. And they're seeing, I was talking to David about this yesterday, Eels, but there's a spirit of supplication that was poured out, and the Lord's the one that poured it out. And it seemed like a corporate, it was, everybody had this spirit of supplication. You know, David's family apart and his wives apart, Dathan, which was a prophet, and then there was also one of his, it could be either his son, Nathan, or the prophet, and their wives apart, and the Levi and their wives apart. It was like this, everybody individually was, it was a very earnest supplication. That, and then it says, then a fountain was opened in the next chapter. So that I don't know, I've just been praying for that for myself, that I have that spirit of supplication. That's, I mean, it's mm-hmm. a very, from the description there, it's very deep, very, very deep. And it has to do with looking on him whom they have pierced, and mourning as for an only child. I mean, it's just very, very deep, deep, if you can imagine, you know, mourning for your child. It's pretty serious. And mm-hmm. I want that, because I don't feel that depth. I you know, so.
Amen. Every time I've been reading in the Old Testament, and I'm trying to find it now. Y'all remember when Solomon dedicated the temple? Here it is. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not it. But anyway, it said this. It said that the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice, and the glory came down with it, and the people could not come in to where the glory was at that time. But since we're in the new covenant, the glory can fall on God's people. So I thought that was quite interesting. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'll show what I got. I asked for two different places. I'll read those first. First one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. No, it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. And the other verse was, or the other two verses were 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort you, therefore, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made to all men, for kings and all that are in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. I guess in the first verses there, when that's really when Jesus is manifest in us, is what it's saying. And I guess I felt what the Lord is saying to me, that when that has come, then he would, these other verses would say that he would want us to be concerned about other people, make intercessions for them, pray for them, share the what we know with them, and to do it in all humbleness and godliness. I guess that's what I got out of that.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Yep, praying, interceding for those people out there that are struggling, that don't know God. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to pray for them. He wants us to believe the testimony. With this in mind, we'll always pray for you, asking that our God might make you worthy of his calling, and that through his power he might help you accomplish every good desire and faithful action. And that way the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified by you and you by him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus, the Messiah. For he's God. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Marlon. All right, anybody else? That's a good word there.
Michael, I got a couple of scriptures.
Okay, Vanessa.
First, I got Luke 23:32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the one criminal's one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I thought that in that one, asking how we could be closer to God is to die with him every day and to forgive. And then I also got Luke 16:22. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried. When I read that about dying too, I thought of the poor man died, and it reminded me where Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so I felt like that was something he was telling me, is to be poor in spirit, to be humble. And so that was what I got.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Vanessa. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's right. Amen. All right, we're getting some good word here. All right, anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gaynor.
This is. I also got a couple verses. The first one I got was James 5:11. And I read more verses, but I would just read 5:11. Lo, we call them blessed that endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. And off to the side of this verse, I had written patience in the margin already, and I believe, you know, this is what he is wanting of us, to be patient, because he is so patient with us. And when we pray and believe, he wants to see our patience there, because that's when our faith will grow. So I saw patience in that one. And then in the next one, I got Acts 6:1, but I really need to read at least two verses to get what I think he was really speaking of here. So I'll read verses 1 and 2. Now in these days, the disciples multiplying arose of the Hellenists against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it is not pleasing God that we should forsake the word of God. So in these verses, I'm seeing that he wants us to not forsake the word of God, that above all, we should be in the word, even before taking care of others, it seems, in this case anyway. So in the two verses I looked up, I got patience and being in the word. Thank you.
All right. Yes, that's true. In the word, being in the word is more important than anything else in these days we're in.
Yep, for sure.
Need to be running after the Lord. Ain't nothing else more important than getting next to God, right now. You do that, and he will reward you in the days ahead.
It's so true, because we can have, you know, our spirit can just be kind of in a turmoil, but, you know, to get our spirit back where it ought to be, it just reading the word is really what it takes, and you know, it just, that is what sustains us. And I know there's a verse that says that, I think it's in Jeremiah, but I'm not exactly sure where, but it, where it says that it is his word that sustains us, and that is so true. Okay, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Claudia.
Okay, I got Luke 18:29-30, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. I thought that was kind of a little bit similar to what you were just talking about.
Amen. Yep. He told him, he finally told him, he said, now you got to give it all away, brother. Give everything to the Lord. And he couldn't give those riches away. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. You had 29 and 30, didn't you?
Yeah.
Y'all going to have to give me time to get there before you start, because I'm slow. Okay. There's no man that hath left house or wife or brethren or parents or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this time and in the world to come eternal life. Praise God. So there's nothing that should be before you and God. Nothing. Nobody, no nothing, no anything. It's an idol if there is. He don't like idols. The Lord does not like idols. That's what I have to ask myself every day, you know. What's more important to you? Getting close to God or doing these little things, you know? So we have to give up a lot. We have to give up the sacrifice for the word to serve the brethren. And that's what we do. That's what all of us do. We sacrifice for the brethren. And that pleases God. It really does. And it draws us closer to Him. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can, Bill.
Okay. I think it was music, but anyway, I got the same one. I think your name is Vanessa. Got James 5. I got James 5, 1-11. Actually, 7-11, about patience and endurance. But I'll read this. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. But look, judges standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Give great honor to those who endure under suffering. And this was her word. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him in the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. I had that before she read it, but then when she read it, I thought, oh my gosh, she got the same one pretty much, you know, about patience and endurance. But I asked the Lord, give me a word, and I just let the Holy Spirit kind of randomly just let my fingers drop into a page, and that's where my eyes were cast.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Patience and endurance. Boy, they go together, don't they? We got to know that God's going to answer our prayers. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Bill. Anybody else?
I've got 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, and which enter not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. I think the Lord just kind of letting us know that there's some amazing things up ahead when we do have patience and continue to seek after him.
Amen. You know, this patience thing, we don't like it, but that's what God said, that he brings these trials before us, is to instill in us patience. And that's when we get these trials and these tribulations in our life, that he works out that patience in us and endurance, as we've been talking about tonight. We got to know that God's going to bring us through. Then when you do that, you look back, you know, and say, well, that wasn't so bad. You know, God brought me through that, and I overcame with his help. And you give him the glory, and the next one will be easier. Praise God. Yes, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Michael, I got Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 is, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Well, that's a good one. That's one that we all know and we believe. When we finally figured out what faith was, you know, not what the worldly church says it is, but when we finally figured out what faith was, you know, then we could go ahead and exercise our faith. Praise God. That's good. All right, anybody else?
Michael, I have another one. This is one I use myself, but it applies for so many things. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, when you're talking about what do we need to do to get closer to the Lord, I think that applies, that he should be our main desire of our heart. And if we delight in him, he says he will bring it to pass, and especially if we commit our ways unto him. So I think, you know, all these faith, patience, endurance, delighting, committing ourselves to God, that, well, these things, all these things will bring us closer to the Lord in our daily walk.
Amen. He talks about both of them. It's faith and trust, and, of course, trust is the fruit of faith. We just know that God's going to answer our prayers when we pray, and you're going to see fruit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord, because we know you're going to bring it to pass. We know that this revival's coming. We know that all these things that we prayed for, Father, that you're going to bring to pass, because we're believers. We're not just Christians, we're believers. And believers are those who pray with faith and trust God to back up his promises. Father, we just thank you so much that you have instilled that in all of us. Lord, that we know what faith is. We have experienced this, because we have in the past called those things that are not as though they were, and seen it manifest many, many times. So, Lord, you have built our faith up over the years, and we just believe. We are believers, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. All right, anybody else? Get a word.
Hello?
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, I got I asked the Lord for some words, and he gave me three verses. I went for three this time, and I got Mark 5:13, and this is when he's casting out of that guy who had legion, many demons in them. And, well, there it says, and he gave them leave, and the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down into the steep, the sea, and about 2,000, and they were drowned in the sea. And my finger came right down on drowned, and I just think that this verse meant that there's an expectation here, and a deliverance that the Lord is going to give to the people, sending the curse back to the beast, the swine, and they're going to drown in the sea. And I think that's the way it's going to be in the end anyway. So he's going to give us an expectation of giving those things leave and cleaning us up. And then I got 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no one be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that hereunto we are appointed. This was in a time where I think the apostle was despairing a bit, and they had to wait for Timothy. This is when he went to Athens, you know, and I think it means no despairing, and to actually how the brethren help each other, you know, because Timothy came and brought the good word for them. And, you know, we should always be praying for others for strength. And then I got Proverbs 8:19. And I think this is a reminder of what is of value. And that is, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And that I believe is a reminder for us on what is of value and of very importance, and it's the silver and gold that shines in our temple so that we can reflect the glory of God.
Yeah. What was that last one? Proverbs what?
8:19.
Okay. Proverbs 8:19?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But, yep. You know, I'm still really excited about that verse from Ephesians 1:18-20, when it says, what is the hope of his calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to that working of the strength of his might, which he worked in the Christ, when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right in the heavenly. I sort of looked at those three what's there, and I went, for God so loved the world. This is how much love he has for us. This is what he provided for us. This love, this mercy, this grace. This is really showing you the power of God, his sovereign hand working in making us what he wants us to be. It's just, you know, I look at it and I go, what? You know, I can't get my head around this, all this he's given us. And he just loves us so much. You know, having the eyes of the heart enlightened, that we may know. And that's what he's going to give us, those eyes, the single eye, that we may know what the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance. You know, you get all these verses that come into your head when you go riches. You know, there's the silver and gold, you know, that reflects that light. And you know that song, we are gems and here to say we're serving the Lord in every way. Well, that's, those gems were in the temple of old, too. They reflect light, too. The inheritance. it's just an exciting thing in Ephesians there. You know, we're supposed to be like those Ephesians. Usually it's not a book where you think about love, but, you know, over there in the book of Revelation, it talks about them and their first love, which they separated from for a while there, that they forgot their first love. We got to remember what this is here. And I think that these verses here are pretty key for remembering how much God loves you. And when we get this practice, we can give it to others. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a powerful verse. Powerful verse. All right. Anyone else? Barbara, is that you? Okay. Let's pray for Barbara's Bruce. He passed out today at work. I haven't heard back from her yet to understand what's going on. Lord, we just lift up Bruce to you. And Father, we know that your hand is on him. We know that he's healed because we've already prayed the prayer of faith. Father, we just thank you for the good testimony that you're going to give him to the nurses and the doctors in that hospital when he tells them that God healed him. That didn't have anything to do with what they did to him. And Father, I thank you that there's not going to be any kind of adverse effects of this passing out at work, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it's just going to provide a testimony for him. And I praise you, Father, that it's going to also draw him closer to you, Father, that he'll get rid of all any kind of a religious spirit, and that he just focuses on you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father, that you're going to open up his eyes, you're going to open up his mind, his spiritual mind, and his spiritual eyes to see, and his ears to see, hear, Lord, the truth of the gospel. And I thank you, Father, he is a mighty man of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for his healing and his deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else get a word?
Could I, Michael, this is kind of more in the line of praying. Is it okay if I could just wait until we go through the different words?
Well, go ahead.
I'm going to change phones here real quick. Sorry about that. I've got all this paraphernalia on my head and wires and over the headset. So when one of the batteries dies, it's this big deal to move over. Today, I had to go into the county seat here, which is a ways away, and I was kind of running. I was on time, but I was anxious to get there on time and to get going on jury duty. And, you know, they'll walk in late and the whole court's sitting there waiting for you, you know. But I had some misgivings about even doing this because it was supposed to run through the 22nd. I wanted to be, you know, kind of free. But I just asked the Lord just to, you know, he's responsible for all these circumstances anyway, so I just thought, well, instead of me trying to buck the system and ask for, you know, to get off, maybe I should just go with the flow and with the Lord's lead. So anyway, I was getting there, and I was going to be on time, but just before I got into the downtown proper, it was about a 35-mile-an-hour zone area, just two lanes, one on each side, and here was this little girl. She was running down the yellow line, the double yellow line in the middle. She was just running for all she was worth, kind of chaotic down the middle, and these cars were, you know, everybody just stops their car. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And, you know, at that point, it's like, who cares about the jury duty thing or anything else? And so she just runs past all these cars. They had all stopped, and pretty soon, well, right away, everybody's doors were opening. You could, it's an amazing thing to see, like, five or six cars, all these doors simultaneously open, and men and women are getting out, and a couple of women started running after her and finally caught her, and she tried to wrestle with them and get away. She's only four or five. And so I just, it was very shocking, of course. I had no idea who, you know, what the home life is like, or the parental situation, or did she get out of a car, or is she running away from somebody in a car? But there was nobody, there was no parent there trying to track her down. And I didn't figure it out till later that was, there was a high school right nearby there, and they probably had daycare going on, and somehow she must have slipped out, or I don't know what happened. But, you know, of course, even that's bad, because the people running the daycare would have responsibility to keep track of the kids. But so anyway, I not knowing any of the situation, I just, of course, just praying in tongues. And finally, the couple ladies got the little girl to the side, and I crept on by and got to the courthouse. But it seems like nothing else mattered. So I just wanted to, the thing is, you know, you look at a little kid and you just think, well, it's just a little kid, you know, but the Lord, and, you know, there's all the terrible stuff going on, like abortions and child abuse and all the terrible things happening. And how must God feel about all the stuff he's witnessing all the time? Anyway, I'm glad he's, I don't know if I should say I'm glad he's dealing with it, you know, but it, we have to be participating, of course, in what the Lord shows us. So I've just been praying for this girl and for the, you know, what the Lord might have in mind for her, her family life, and all the other things. I'm sorry, I'm not very coherent here.
Well, why don't you pray for her, and we'll believe with you.
Okay. Lord, I don't know anything about this little girl. I just appreciate your letting me see this little incident. And you know all of the background, but, you know, to what's going on. And kids do get carried away sometimes and just willful and take off. But you know all the things and all these details. I just pray, Lord, that you will, especially this little girl specifically, that you'll really make her come upon her, fix her situation, and that she will be not just called but chosen, and she'll be really wrecking havoc with the kingdom of darkness. And I pray for her family or her mother or father or whatever her home life situation is. I pray that you will also enter into that situation and just fix everything like you do. And I just pray that so many other kids that are around the world, that you'll not just, yet, I just pray for them also generally, but I also pray that we will be like little kids too, running after you with all our hearts. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just lift up all the homeless children, Lord, that are sold into Satanism. Father, I ask that you expose the hand of the enemy with all of this and take care of these little ones, Lord. Even the government, some of the governments are involved in this. And Father, I ask and I pray, Father, that you set these kids free. They've been through so much torment. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to do something about them, about all the evil that's done to children in the world. when you said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Lord, you told us that you love children. I ask, Lord, that you put your hedge of protection around all of them. Lord, we all love children, and we want to see them to grow up in you, Lord. But, Lord, we know that there's an evil, evil, evil presence. So, Lord, you're in charge, and I ask for your protection upon these children in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Michael, I wanted to add an amen to your prayer for Bruce. I just wasn't next to the phone at the time and couldn't get to it quick enough. So I put my faith with yours for Bruce in Jesus' name.
Okay. Praise God. Amen. All right. Anybody else get a word?
Sorry, brother. I'm a little bit late. This is Tracy from St. Louis. A word for what? Were we asking for a word for something specific?
Yeah, we asked the Lord. I sent an email out. I'm sorry if you didn't get it. Tracy, are you on my list? If you're not, I can put you on it.
No, sir. I did email you when I was going to join, and you gave me the information, but I don't get any emails regularly.
Okay, I'm going to put you down. I'll make sure you get them from now on.
Thank you, sir. Do you remember my email?
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it in my list, on my conference call list. I guess I do.
Okay.
Give it to me. Do you mind giving it to me on the air, or do you want to just send it to me?
No, it's all over anyway. My son's name. It's Kane Johnson, KaineJohnson at hotmail.com.
Kane Johnson, is that just one word?
Yeah, KaineJohnson at hotmail.com. That's right.
Okay, hotmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll put you on there tonight.
Thank you. Sorry
that I haven't had you on there, but
oh, you're right. We actually live stream another ministry at the same time as this prayer line. So my husband, you know, is there, and then I'm over here. So
yeah,
you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, the question was, Lord, please show us how we can become closer to you. That was the question that the Lord gave, that he wanted us to seek him for. Lord, please show us how we can become closer to you. All right. Anybody else get a word? Well, Rob Miller sent me an email. I had sent him also. He was on the list. And I'd like to read you what he sent me, if that's all right with y'all. He says, this eve of the evening that begins the Feast of Tabernacles, according to the sighting of Aviv by, and he gives a link to these brethren that came up with the sighting of the Aviv. He says, it is no mistake that the phrase Feast of Tabernacles is found 10 times in Father's Word, for the number 10 means testimony. Revelation 19:10 says, and I fell down before his feet to worship him. And he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren that hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then Rob says, Father had me read through Zechariah last night before bed and drew my attention to the last six verses of the book of Zechariah. And that's Zechariah 14, 16 through 21. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In verse 17, and it shall be that whoso of all the families of the earth goeth not up unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, neither shall it be upon them. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the nations that go not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. Verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations that go not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. And in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holy unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holy unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil therein. And in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And Rob says, the feast of tabernacles seems to be the only feast commanded to be kept by those left of all the nations. And this caused me to reference this morning the 10 times the phrase Feast of Tabernacles was used in the scriptures. And as I was contemplating these 10 passages, Michael's email came in this morning that posed this request of the Lord. Lord, please show us how we can become closer to you. And then began to ponder how these 10 passages may be teaching us to become closer to the Lord as a part of the bride and those man-childs within us as we all desire to fully rest in our personal tabernacle by faith and manifestation. I posted all 10 passages with a short thought the Father has provoked in my mind while dwelling on each passage. And the first one, hang on just a second. Now I'm going to quote these and give you a little bit of time to get there. The first one is Leviticus 23, verse 34. Leviticus 23 and 34. He says, it says in Leviticus 23 and 34, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this 7th month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And Rob says, the number 15 means rest, and 7 means completeness. And perfection means completeness and perfection, both physically and spiritually. Are we not in the 15th year from the beginning of the 7th millennium, as some believe began on 9-1-1-0-1? And then he references Deuteronomy, number 2 is Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13. Thou shalt keep the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that thou hast gathered in from thy threshing floor and from thy wine press. And then Rob says, is not the man-child with the bride the first to be gathered in from the threshing floor and winepress of their tribulation, that puts to death that old carnal fleshly man while being fully filled with the new man who is Christ, so as to be prepared to lead the rest of the church through to their rest during the last 7 days of the church called, typed by the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. And number 3, Deuteronomy 16 and 16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. The number three means divine completeness and perfection. The male man-child will not appear before the Lord empty, but he fully filled with the manifestation of all three feasts, being filled with the unleavened bread, filled with the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and fully resting in our personal tabernacle. Praise God. Amen. Number four, Deuteronomy 31 and 10. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles. Rob says, will not the bride have fully released or renounced all that is in his possession as a good steward of the Lord? Amen. Number five, 2 Chronicles 8 and verse 13. Even as the duty of every day required offering, according to the commandments of Moses, on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the set feast, three times in the year, even in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. Is it not the duty of every member of the bride to demonstrate by manifestation every day becoming more of a spiritual sacrifice in the sabbatismos of continual rest? Yes, it is. That's our duty as the bride, to demonstrate by manifestation every day becoming more of a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord, because we're in the rest. We know that God's doing this thing in us. Ezra chapter 3, verse 4 is number 6. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 4. And they kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the ordinance, as the duty of every day required. Does not each day, Rob says, call of us a daily burnt offering as a gift to the Father, forgetting what's behind and press further on toward the mark of his high calling in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Amen. We offer up this sacrifice of our flesh every day to the Lord, and let the Lord burn it out of us. Praise God. Number 7, Zechariah 14, verses 16 and 17. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations that come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso of all the families of the earth goeth not up unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And Rob says, should not in humbleness we never forget, we all came against Jerusalem at one time in our apostate thinking, but now, as a remnant of all nations, must come further out each year into our personal tabernacle, ever seeking more filling of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That is so true. We've separated ourselves from the apostate religion, and we're out there in our own tabernacle now, seeking more filling of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our life. Praise be to God. And He's doing it too. Number 8, Zechariah 14 and 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, neither shall it be upon them, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Rob says, should we not buffet our old Egyptian man so as to bring him under submission as a bondservant of the new man who tabernacles within us? That's right. That's what Paul did. That's what he told us to do, to get rid of the flesh. We have to buffet our body daily, don't we? Zechariah 14 and 19 is number 9. Zechariah 14 and verse 19. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And Rob says, shall we not become as Sodom and be made like unto Gomorrah, who was reprobate, if we do not bring our bodies into bondage as a cleansed booth for our Father's word and spirit? Yep. I'll answer that one. Yep. Number 10, and this is the last one. John chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of Tabernacles, was at hand. And his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that the disciples also may behold thy works which thou doest. For no man doeth anything in secret, and himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, manifest thyself to the world. For even his brethren did not believe on him. And Jesus therefore saith unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that its works are evil. Verse 8, Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up unto this feast, because my time is not yet fulfilled. And having said these things unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up unto the feast, then went he also up, not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews therefore sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the multitudes concerning him. Some said, He is a good man. Others said, Not so, but he leadeth the multitude astray. But yet no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And Rob says, Should we not be about our Father's business in his house as a part of the man, child, and bride who are presently in the secret place of the Most High, having already endured their tribulation in their wilderness, while most of our brethren are still in the world, seeking a feast without first enduring tribulation in a wilderness? By the midst of the tribulation, and thus the middle, the man-child with the bride and two witnesses will be revealed with the truth of the unleavened bread to the harvest, the spiritual Jews yet to be drawn out of the world. And he goes on to say, he says, I'm sure there's much more to this study. Father put on my heart and look forward to what he has to reveal through you all as we seek the full manifestation of his word through what the Spirit of God reveals in us. Amen. Then he quotes Daniel chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons, and he removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that have understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with them. Amen. That's the end of it. Praise God. It's good stuff. All right, anybody else get a word? Anybody want to comment on what Rob just gave about the Feast of Tabernacles and what it is? We're the tabernacle, aren't we? We're the ones that are in that rest for the next 7 days. We need to be in the rest for the next 7 days, which is 7 years of tribulation. Amen? That's how God is working in all of us, getting us ready. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to add or would like to share?
Yeah, I got something I'd like to share, Michael. Due to my Jewish heritage, I've looked this up before in the past, and the Feast of Tabernacles, in Hebrew, it's the Feast of Sukkot. And it was interesting, a study I did years ago where when you read about Paul, he said he was a tent maker. Well, if you look that word tent up in the Hebrew, it says Sukkot, which also means tallit, which is like a prayer shawl that the priest and the people in the temple would pray. And when I was doing another study on when you go into your, secretly into your father, into your prayer closet, look up that word prayer closet, it has the same exact Hebrew word, a tallit or a sukkot or sukkah. And they used to, I guess, pull this prayer shawl up over their head and enclose themselves, so to speak, like in a prayer closet. And it says if you pray the Father secretly in your prayer closet, he will reward you openly. And I just found that fascinating because, you know, we read a lot of things in the English, take it as such, but then there's deeper meaning when you go into the Hebrew. And here my whole life I thought, well, Paul was actually making tents, which is a tabernacle, but if you look it up in Hebrew, it's actually like a personal tent, a prayer closet, so to speak. And I just thought that was interesting. I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Amen. Yep, that's true. And now in the New Testament, we're the tent. We're the sukkah. We get in our special prayer time and we get next to the Lord, don't we? Amen. Thank you, Father. Whew, that's good stuff. Go ahead.
I wanted to witness to that, to the brother who was just speaking. When I get in my prayer closet, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will say to cover myself up fully, you know, prayer shawl, and then cover my body with some, you know, like a blanket or something. And I didn't really understand why. I guess that makes sense from what he was saying.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. One of these days we'll talk about women's coverings. Maybe I should get David to come on and do something on women's head covering.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Hey, Brother Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara. That's the girl I've been looking for.
I'm sorry. I missed practically all of this conference call, and I just got on probably about 10 minutes ago, but I don't know what all the word was shared, but I did get a word earlier this morning, and the Lord gave me Revelations 22:11. The second part was where my finger landed on. And to the question, you know, that, Lord, how can we get closer to you? And I got, and he that is righteous, let him do righteousness still. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. That's just what he gave me. And had a good prayer time, good time with the Lord this morning. It was good. It was awesome. But, of course, then I got the trial this afternoon. Thank you for praying, by the way.
Yeah, we all prayed here, too, Barbara, and we're waiting for an update.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what happened. He just passed out at work, and they had to transport him by ambulance. My daughter happens to work at the same place where he works, so she had called me, and she came and picked me up and took me to the hospital. And, they did a CT scan on him, and they didn't find anything, of course, you know, because we prayed. And I was believing that, you know, that they wouldn't find anything. And but they wanted him to stay because, you know, their protocol is, you know, they have to run more tests because if something were to happen, they don't want to be liable. And but he chose to leave. And now they're saying that they might have to revoke his license because they can't rule out that he might have had a seizure. I don't know what it was, you know. I don't know. I know the Lord's doing a work in him. I do know that. And I just prayed against, you know, the enemy. And you know, it's all in God's hands. And they didn't find anything. And you know, just go in faith that nothing's there. And he's, by faith, he's restored. By faith, he's healed. And, I don't know, I just leave it all in God's hands. I mean, that's all I have. That's all, we don't know anything. I mean, he just wanted to come home. He didn't want to stay there. So I don't know what to think about that. I mean, I'm just going to pray that they won't revoke his license either. I mean.
Well, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We believe for his healing and restoration. And now we can believe that they're not going to do anything about it. Lord, we just come against any kind of witchcraft that these people want to do in Jesus' name. And we come against it and count it all as null and void right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for Bruce's complete healing. Lord, we thank you, Father, that he's going to get his license. They're not going to take it, revoke his license. Lord, we thank you to take that out of their minds in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father,
that you are an awesome God, and we praise you for it. Well, amen. Thank you, Lord, that Bruce is healed.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. We got just a couple of minutes left. Has anybody got anything they need to pray about before we close out? Anybody got a word that they want to get from the Lord for us as far as Thursday night? I do. I got a word. Lord, I ask to give us a word. What's it going to take for revival to break out amongst us? What is it going to take from us for revival to break out with us? Does that sound okay to everybody?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Amen.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for all the great words we've gotten, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to all of us go over these scriptures that we've gotten tonight and just put it all together and understand that this is how we can become closer to you, Lord, through all of these revelations that you've given us. I thank you, Father, for the patience. I thank you, Lord, for the endurance. I thank you, Lord, for showing us that you do answer prayers, just like Bruce today, Lord, that he's been healed. And we thank you, Father, that we believe in that he's not going to lose his license either, because we have prayed the prayer of faith and we're standing in faith for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that that little girl is going to be safe wherever she has to go, Father, in Jesus' name, and that you're going to put your hedge of protection around her and keep her safe, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you for a wonderful time tonight. We thank you, Father, for your glory. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you give us visions and dreams of the things that are coming. Lord, it looks like something may happen on the 24th. We don't know for sure, but you sure are giving us a lot of signs that it is. And Father, we ask that you prepare each one of us for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the words you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your protection in the days ahead. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, all right, saints, good night.